Casey's Angels, written by Chris Holmes, narrated by Aaron Miller. I smelled the angels again. Their sweet perfume woke me from a nap and overpowered the odors of fall leaves, the grease-stained fried chicken box in Mrs. Quigley's trash can down the street, and even the musky scent of Cleo and the Miller's Siamese cat next door. The angel's scent is something I'd known since I was a pup, but lately it smelled stronger and came more frequently. I wondered if it heralded my owner Henry's departure. He turned 89 last month. We shared the indignities of aging, cataracts, poor bladder control, and constant hip pain. Henry's from a fall last year and mine from advanced hip dysplasia. Henry reached down from his chair and patted my head. I pushed myself up into a sitting position and poked my nose into the air. My sense of smell was still sharp and the heavenly scent hovered over us like a thick fog. It was a good thing and a bad thing. I had never doubted that Henry was anything but heaven-bound, but the thought of his imminent departure saddened me. I tried not to whine as I slid my front legs in front of me and lowered my aching back until the sturdy porch floor supported my belly. My hips creaked as I settled myself at Henry's slippered feet. My 16 years with Henry and his wife Carol had been a blessing. According to Doc Bennett, 16 for a golden retriever was ancient. The angels took Carol 5 years ago, and I knew they'd take Henry and me someday, too. In the meantime, we would look after each other, until one of us no longer could. A sharp odor stung my nostrils and startled me. I lifted my head. Henry didn't like me to disturb the neighbors, so I muffled my bark and growled instead.
"Hush now, Casey," Henry said. "What's the matter, boy? You always loved children. What you got against that handsome boy, anyway?"
I could smell demons as well as angels, and the boy sitting on the porch steps across the street reeked of sulfur and brimstone. He sat and jabbed at the wood step with a pocket knife. 12 years ago, when he first appeared wrapped in a blanket and cradled in his mother's arms, the scent had been fainter but still there. The fluffy blue swaddling couldn't mask the insidious odor. As he grew older, his scent grew more repulsive. My hip made a popping sound as I struggled to sit up. Old Henry's hand cupped the back of my neck.
"What? Now you want to go and play with Josh? You're too old to play, Casey. Lay down now."
I always listened to Henry. But instead of lying down, I leaned against his leg and kept watch. The youngster looked like an angel, but smelled like a monster. If Josh posed a threat, it would be faster to charge at him from a sitting position. As much as the boy worried me, my own limitations of protecting Henry worried me even more. My ears twitched with each thunk of his shiny blade stabbing into the wooden boards. Every now and then he sneaked a glance at us with his pale blue eyes, cold as river ice, peering between silky yellow bangs. He stuck the blade hard into the wood and left it there, quivering. Then he pulled matches from his jeans pocket and struck the heads against the box. Tiny puffs of sulfur smell mingled with the boy's fiery scent. He crouched over a small pile of dried leaves in his front yard and set them afire. Henry yelled,
"Hey there, boy! Don't be setting no fires! It's dry as dust this time of year!"
Josh stood, flipped his middle finger at Henry, and then stomped out the flames with his thick-soled brown boots. He meandered across his yard and disappeared into the bordering woods. I squinted to discern his shadowy shape as he moved deeper into the maze of tree trunks, spidery bare branches, and tall brush. As a younger dog, I had followed 6-year-old Josh into those same woods. Back then, the boy's ominous odor contained the stink of lighter fluid. I found Josh struggling to hang on to the Miller's Siamese kitten as he wrapped a length of cord around her neck. He jumped when I barked and looked scared when I charged at him with my teeth bared. The kitten raked its needle-sharp claws across the boy's hand and wriggled free from his grasp. She darted into the brush. The rope fell from her neck and tangled in the bushes. Ever since that day when Henry and I passed their house on our daily walks, both he and the Millers marveled at Cleo scampering fearlessly to greet me on the sidewalk and rub her sinewy body against my legs. Slipping from under Henry's hand, I eased myself down the porch steps and limped to the end of the front path. The dense film covering my eyes annoyed me. No matter how many times I rubbed my paws over my eyes, the white cloud wouldn't go away. I finally made out Cleo's sleek shape hunched on the sill inside the Miller's front bay window. She was safe from the demon.
Casey, come on.
I turned toward Henry's call and let out a long sigh at the task of climbing back up the three steps. The old man positioned his aluminum walker and pushed himself upright.
Dinner time, old boy.
With a thump creak of the walker and a shuffle of footsteps, Henry led the way into our house. With eyes cast downward, I sat in the corner watching the spreading yellow puddle. Henry leaned on his walker and worked an old bath towel under one foot, sopping up my urine from the kitchen floor.
Don't fret now, Casey. It's my fault for dozing off after dinner and not letting you outside.
While that may be true, the indignity of not being able to hold my water anymore was beyond humiliating. Perhaps the angels would take me tonight before poor old Henry slipped in one of my puddles and broke another brittle bone. He'd broken his hip when he slipped on the wet dock behind the house. The day had been good before that. Almost like old times, when he and Carol and I would take their little boat down the river for a morning of fishing. Carol always made the best lunches for us. Her meatloaf sandwiches were my favorite. After the angels took Carol, we didn't go fishing for a long time. I'd jump in the boat and bark, but Henry only stood on the dock and watched me. After a while, I'd give up and jump into the water for a swim. Then one morning, Henry brought his fishing gear and climbed into the boat with me. I loved the water and the myriad of smells along the riverbank. Those fishing trips were fun, except Henry only brought peanut butter sandwiches. He'd smile and laugh when I licked at the peanut butter stuck to my teeth. On our last fishing trip, it started to rain just as Henry tied the boat to the dock. He stepped from the boat, slipped on the wet boards and fell hard. I heard a snap. Blood seeped from the cut on his forehead. I licked his face and tugged at his jacket sleeve, but he didn't move. His breath came in shallow gasps, his face pale and twisted in pain. I ran next door to the Miller's house, wishing I could yell for help. Instead, I barked as loud as I could until Mr. Miller came outside and followed me back to poor Henry. For a long time, I stayed with Henry's daughter, Lynn, in her house, but I worried about Henry every day. Finally, she took me for a car ride and brought me home. Henry waited for me on the porch. The excitement of seeing him overwhelmed me so much that I dove out the open car window. Lynn chased me and yanked on my leash. She warned me over and over not to jump on Henry. Something smelled different about Henry. He stood to greet me, but the aluminum walker was in the way. Stifling my urge to jump on him, I channeled all my energy into my tail. It swung so hard and knocked over the walker. Lynn scolded me, but Henry laughed. It felt good to hear him laugh, but his voice sounded tinny and fragile.
Casey, come on, boy.
Henry had finished cleaning the floor and the odor of Lysol hung heavy in the air. He stood holding open the back door. The wide ramp Lynn's husband had installed made it easy for both of us to walk down the gentle incline to the back patio. Henry abandoned his walker for a sturdy, wrought iron chair, pulled a pipe from his sweater pocket, and lit it with a trembling hand. I continued on into the grassy area, surprised I still had the urge to pass more water. Try as I might, I couldn't lift up my back leg to keep the stream from splashing the tufts of fur on my back legs. Instead, I squatted on trembling legs and endured the pain until my water stopped flowing. I never broke a bone like Henry. My back legs just grew weaker over time. Doc Bennett told Henry it was a common problem with my breed. The pills Doc gave me helped for a while. I could even run and catch the fuzzy tennis ball that Henry tossed to me from his chair on the porch. Lately, though, I only ran through the grassy fields in my dreams, and my tennis ball sat still in the corner of the porch, dirty, chewed, and growing moldy. I sniffed the air and detected a smoky odor. Not the earthy smell of Henry's pipe, but a putrid sulfur smell. A demon's smell. Fear forced my legs into a trot as I investigated the dark pathway between Henry's house and the Miller's tall hedge. A crackling noise alerted me. My nose confirmed my fear before my eyes fully focused on Josh, crouched in the darkness. A flash of fire in the dry grass illuminated his twisted grin. I barked and then charged at the demon, ignoring the hot jolts of pain that pulsed through my legs and across my back. Josh scrambled to his feet. A small metal can fell from his hand, clattering against the side of the house and splashed liquid onto the siding. I knew that ugly smell, lighter fluid. The flames in the grass leapt onto the wet stain on the house. A loud whoosh and the wooden shingles burst into flames and traveled upward. Fire scared me, but I had to save Henry's house. It was all he had. I steeled myself as I raced toward the low wall of flames in the grass. I mustered all my strength and forced myself to jump. My front paws hit the boy's chest, knocking him to the ground. Barking louder, I stood on top of Josh and pinned him down. The boy screamed and punched and kicked me. The heavy heels of his boots dug into my soft belly and smashed against my back legs. I never bitten anyone before, but I sank my teeth into his flailing arm just to stop the searing pain from his vicious kicks. Josh cried out louder and kicked me even harder.
Casey!
Henry's shuffling steps moved through the dried leaves behind me.
Casey, no!
Louder footsteps slapped against the pavement. A blast of icy water hit me square in the eyes. I released my hold on Josh's arm and backed away, growling.
Henry, call your dog off!
Mr. Miller soaked me down with more cold water and then aimed the hose on the flames that had crept all the way up the side of the house and licked at the old shingled roof.
What the hell happened here? Henry asked.
He fumbled to grasp my collar. The wet nylon slipped through his fingers as I collapsed onto the wet grass.
Looks like Josh set a fire again. Casey must have bit him.
Mr. Miller twisted the nozzle to off and pulled a cell phone from his pants pocket.
I'll call the cops and get his parents. Looks like we'll need an ambulance and a vet, too.
The stainless steel table beneath me felt hard and cold. The deep chill from it penetrated through my side and gripped my aching bones. I wanted to jump down, to go home and cuddle in my blanket next to Henry's bed and just be warm. But no matter how hard I tried, my rear legs wouldn't move. I raised my head to see why my legs wouldn't work and saw a large patch of my fur along my right side was gone.
black singed hair that smelled like fire ringed my throbbing bright red skin. Doc Bennett laid a comforting hand on my head while Henry's gnarled fingers stroked the white hair around my muzzle.
Doc, can't you patch him up?
I'm sorry, Henry. His vitals are very weak. He's 16 after all. That's 87 in our years. The one leg's a clean break, but his hip's shattered. You're looking at multiple surgeries, then rehabilitation, and with Casey's dysplasia, the pain and stress he'd go through, not to mention the expense. I'm sorry, Henry. The most humane thing to do now is to put him down.
But he saved my house.
Henry's voice quivered, and his shaking fingers traced over my face and ears.
Hell, he saved my life. I would have gone off to bed and probably died in that fire.
The vet sighed. Let's hope they get that kid some help.
Casey never liked that boy. I'm pressing charges. The cops said it might do Josh some good in the long run before he kills.
Henry gulped hard and cupped my head in his hands.
Is he in pain, Doc?
Hopefully not. I gave him a shot for the pain. A second shot will make him sleep. Until... The vet moved to the swinging door. Take as much time as you need to say goodbye. Henry sobbed in my ear. I lapped my tongue and tasted his tears, warm and salty as they dripped over my muzzle. There had been many times in my life I'd wished I could talk, but never so much as now. I wanted to tell Henry about the angels, how sweet they smelled, even in this cold, sterile room. Breathing in their intoxicating scent made me feel lighter with each breath, like I could float right off this hard table. For the first time in a long while, my legs didn't hurt. Nothing hurt. When I closed my eyes, an endless blue sky lay before me over sun-washed grassy fields, greener than any grass I remembered, and in a world brighter than anything I'd ever seen, even through puppy eyes. The sun warmed my back and melted away the chill from the cold metal table. I nuzzled my nose into Henry's palm and breathed in his familiar scent, made even sweeter by the angels surrounding us.
Look, Henry, there's water just beyond those fields. A long, rambling ribbon of water, so blue and clear it glittered like glass in the sunshine. And there's Carol. She's sitting in a boat just like ours. She held up a sandwich, and the savory aroma of meatloaf tickled at my nose. We can all go fishing again. I'll wait for you, Henry. Right here by the river. I promise you.